Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, that's for sure, ladies and gentlemen. Got a lot of topics to cover, not near enough time to get her done, but we're taking the world by storm and we're doing it. The Netherlands ready to forcibly close 3,000 farms to comply with an EU mandate, ladies and gentlemen. EU farmers, though, they call them rebel farmers. They're called rebel farmers, is what I find fascinating. EU farmers rebel against these, they call them WEF, World Economic Forum regulations, ladies and gentlemen. The question is, will liberty prevail? And I think the answer is liberty will not prevail. And I say that sadly. And I don't think that liberty is on the death nail forever. But I think we're experiencing a dark time, not only in America, but around the world. Because you know what? There's not enough people that are awake. And I don't mean woke. I mean awake to stop the woke agenda. Okay, you got to understand this really clearly, folks. Nowhere to turn, nowhere to hide. We're being betrayed on every side. That's really the point of this whole discussion, whether it's farmers and food, whether it's electricity. They are literally making resources intentionally scarce for government to grow beyond your wildest dreams. A global agenda, a tyrannical view, is their endgame. And we, the people, need to be wise to this reality. They want to control the air. They want to control the water. Yeah, all resources up for grabs. And now we have a Google Earth reality check. This is very interesting to kind of highlight what's going on here. Chris?
Yeah, so this is from our good friend Darren Beatty from Revolver.News. And we've talked extensively about January 6th and the irregularities, if you want to use that euphemism, surrounding the official government facts that they want us to believe about the January 6th so-called riots or insurrections. But this deals with a little different sideline from the actual activities that went on in the Capitol at that day. It deals with two pipe bombs, and this was not extensively reported, but it was reported, and I think they kind of quieted down on reporting about these because there are some irregularities about the two pipe bombs, one planted outside of the RNC, the Republican National Committee headquarters, and one planted outside of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee headquarters. The interesting thing about the one that was planted outside of the DNC national headquarters is that it was there in open view to people walking by or sitting on the park benches there for 17 hours, Sam, presumably unnoticed. Now, if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in the state of Utah to sell you. I saw a photograph of the bomb that when it was discovered, presumably at about 1 o'clock January 6th, the afternoon of January 6th, which was about the time all the activities in the Capitol were going on. So there's a lot of information here. So Darren Beatty starts the article off by saying, if members of Congress were serious about solving January 6th, they would get very specific now in their oversight request. What were the names of the Secret Service agents who were tasked with sweeping the entry and exit door areas outside the DNC headquarters? And this bomb, by the way, this pipe bomb was literally feet from some access doors in the back of the building. And then they talk about there's a parking deck that was literally feet from. And I've seen the photographs. I know you don't have the advantage of seeing those photographs that are very revealing. And not only were the Secret Service not notice, or the security detail there at the DNC not notice this pipe bomb that was in open view right next to a park bench that was situated there on the grounds for 17 hours, nobody got fired, nobody got disciplined, nobody got a beat down for not having noticed it. And during that same 17-hour period, Sam, Kamala Harris actually entered and left the facility through a garage door, which was literally feet from where this bomb was planted. Okay? So there's a lot
again, it's more circumstantial evidence and strange irregularities that Darren Beatty and the folks at Revolver.News bring forward. They're very astute. We're catching them more and more and more in the lies. But again, the more we find evidence about who the real perpetrators are and about government inside involvement, the more the government just simply prosecutes everybody else. Stuart Rhodes just got slammed and prosecuted. They're using this just like the communist Chinese do to go after, quote, anybody who is considered a dissident or anybody who criticizes the government or anybody who even doesn't buy the government storyline. Every one of us are in the crosshairs of an out-of-control government bent on shutting down all critics, Chris.
Yeah. And nobody's talking about how this device was able to exist in open view to the general public. People, and this was one of the busiest days, January 6th, and the night previous, for that matter, was one of the busiest days in Washington, D.C. at that time. There must have been thousands of people passing by. And you're trying to tell me that for 17 hours nobody noticed this pipe bomb? I saw a photograph of it, Sam. I would have seen it from 25 to 35 feet away. And they're telling us this concocted story that it was placed there. And they actually have video footage. And this is another interesting revelation about this whole story. So the FBI released security camera footage of a hooded suspect, presumably the man who planted the bomb. He came up. And this footage is date stamped 7:42 p.m. on January 5th. And it shows a man in a white hoodie or a woman. It's hard to tell because he or she is wearing a hoodie. So, and there are two surveillance videos here. And this is the interesting part about this, Sam. And I'll try to explain this. So the first one shows this individual coming up and sitting on one of the two benches in the area at 7:42 p.m. And this individual, you know, the body language looks very suspicious. This individual is holding a backpack. But at that time, 7:42, he did not or she did not unlaid the contents of the backpack. At 7:52, so 10 minutes later, another video surveillance camera shows the same individual coming back. But interestingly enough, from this surveillance video angle, you cannot see the place where the pipe bomb was presumably deposited, whereas the previous surveillance video would have shown where the pipe bomb was deposited by the suspect. Why would the FBI release two videos, the first of which shows the man or the woman sitting on the bench in open view of where the pipe bomb would have been deposited had he or she deposited it at that time? And then the second video that they released was a completely different angle, completely different surveillance video, where you cannot see where that pipe bomb was deposited. So that is suspicious, and Darren Beatty points that out. Anyway, there is some other anomalies. The frame, you're familiar with frames per second, are you not, Sam?
Yes, of course. Obviously. How so just so you know, hold on, the slower the frames, the less contiguous video you have. I don't know if people realize this, but video is nothing but a bunch of pictures all in a row displayed really fast, right? And so what you've got is when you have a slower frame rate, what happens is if it's really slow, you might see a picture every second. Or you might have 30 frames per second, which is what TV is. So you got to understand you're getting 30 pictures in a second, thus making video. Video is nothing but a series of pictures all in a row, in a literal sense. I'm not saying that's necessarily how it's recorded these days, but I'm highlighting the components so people understand what frames are. Frames and pictures don't exactly match necessarily. My whole point, though, is that it's the higher the frame rate, the more contiguous, the more solid the video is. The slower the frame rate, the more jerky the video looks, etc. So I bring that up so people kind of understand that if they're not technical, Chris.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and it's a simple concept. Even a dummy like I can figure that out. So why would the FBI release surveillance video footage, Sam, that is one frame per second when that is, like, that's not even low technology. Low technology is 8 frames per second. Like you said, the movies that you watch in the theater, they're like 24 to 30. Why would they release video? And this must have been doctored. I'm guessing it would have had to have been, because I'm sure they wouldn't use at the DNC headquarters such low quality equipment. 1 frame per second. What are they trying to hide by limiting it to 1 frame per second? And this was I picked up this on an interview with Owen Schroyer a couple of days ago when he interviewed Darren Beatty. It's not in the article, but anyway, it's just there's so many anomalies. And then of course they always in classic fashion of the FBI, they always remove the evidence before anybody can, you know, go and investigate. And that's what they did.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the bottom line is we're getting more evidence about something smells rotten in Denmark. Something ain't right here, folks, and that's the bottom line. But Joel Skousen highlighted, in my opinion, something that really, in my opinion, doubles down on the point being made here, Chris.
Yep. And then so obviously Joel Skousen does deep research on relevant topics of the day. And I'm titling this, "We Are Always Betrayed in the End," unquote. And that's a quote from the World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen.
We are always betrayed in the end. We'll talk about it more in seconds on your radio. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, this is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman on your radio talking about, listen, we're always betrayed in the end, ladies and gentlemen. Joel Skousen highlights that quote, and I think that's what we're seeing on so many fronts, whether it be the farming issue, whether it be the electricity issue, whether it be this pipe bomb and these other scandal issues. Every time we're betrayed over and over and over. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, the followers of Christ can expect to be betrayed. The Savior himself was betrayed, Chris.
Yep, and I remember an interview, I called in to Mike Lee, this was on a talk show host, and I told him about the Federal Reserve, and I said, Mike Lee, why don't you do something, why don't you enter some legislation to abolish the Federal Reserve? And I know this is kind of a sidetrack, but you just work with me for a second here. And he said, we have to work with the government that we're given. And before I could respond to that, they hung up on me, you know, like a lot of talk show hosts do when they don't want you following up on an inconvenient question. But anyway, so how the Republican Party was compromised, and Joel Skousen, just like you and I, Sam, we don't trust either of the two major political parties. I abandoned the Republican Party, as I mention often, and I'm sorry, I sound like a broken record, 22 years ago. But here are some of the reasons why I have. And then Joel Skousen begins the article saying there are always a few wolves in sheep's clothing that infiltrate and betray conservatives once they are in power. And he goes on to list some people. He talks about John McCain, Senator Arlen Specter. Arlen Specter, if you'll recall, Sam, was the one who covered up for the JFK assassination.
Yeah, via the Warren Commission.
The Warren Commission, yep. And that's probably why he was given power in government. They always do. Newt Gingrich, who betrayed the contract with America and brought China into the World Trade Organization. The gay pervert House Speaker, Denny Hastert, who was protected from prosecution until he was out of power. And John Boehner, he says John Boehner has too many vices to list here. None of these people were ever on our side. And I add to that, and they always seem to gravitate and are granted leadership positions. So that's important to note. So he goes on to say that they're today, Paul Ryan is no longer Speaker of the House, but, you know, and he says Paul Ryan wasn't evil. Paul Ryan was just weak and intimidatable. That was his superpower in Congress, you know, that they could work with. And then now we're talking about Kevin McCarthy because, you know, he'll be up for Speaker of the House now that the so-called good guys have control of Congress, the House specifically. He's trying to play both sides, but he's going to do some good things. Now, he lists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that Kevin McCarthy has promised to do if he is elevated to the lofty position of Speaker of the House, and I'll mention those. And they are good things. He's going to kick Adam Schiff off the Intelligence Committee for lying about Trump and Russian collusion. Well, that's a good thing, right? Number two, he's going to investigate Hunter Biden. He promised to do that. Now, whether or not he does that, I have my doubts. Number three, he's going to end proxy voting so that members have to be present to vote. I'm not really sure how that's going to make a difference. Number four, he's going to undo the IRS hiring of 87,000 new agents.
None of these things are going to happen, Chris.
They're not going to happen.
And even if you get rid of the 87,000 new agents, all you're doing is bringing back the IRS to previous announcement of 80,000 more agents. In other words, you still got the behemoth clown organization that's unconstitutional and criminal in its intent. Its judge, jury, and executioner, Lois Lerner, still lives on without prosecution. So even if you roll that back, Chris, I mean, I appreciate that, but it's not even close to the answer. It's not even close to making enough difference to even matter.
Right. And that's my response. And I'm going to add to that. Why not do things like this, Sam? I know I'm preaching to the choir. Why not return us to a constitutional monetary system? That would make a difference.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the only thing that will really make a long-term difference. Because if you leave that in place, the fix is in time, no matter what you do.
Right. Yeah. You don't get rid of the root. It's like hacking away at a tree, thinking you're killing the tree. You cut a branch or two off, think, aha, now that branch will never obscure my view. Well, the trees grow new branches all the time, you know, or dandelions or whatever analogy you want to use. And then to finish out that thought, I said, why don't we enter legislation to defund every unconstitutional program in the government? And then other things that, you know, are pretty obvious. But
yeah, a lot of this discussion comes down to we live in the real and teach to the ideal discussions that I've had with so many people. I agree we want to do all those things, and I would stand for them. But America is not ready to do that. If I abolish the IRS tomorrow, the Americans would be like, hey, how do we fund our government? And they'd vote the IRS back in right now because we're not educated enough and we're not dedicated enough and we're not committed enough to make a difference. And so when Mike Lee says, hey, because we got to deal with the government we're given, that's a little bit of living in the real versus the ideal. His point is, I can put it in. Rand Paul and Ron Paul put in abolish the Federal Reserve, even forget abolishing for a second. They even put in auditing the Federal Reserve. Let's just take a look and make sure the accounting's right. And no one would even go for that. Rand Paul put a penny plan in and said, hey, let's cut a penny from government expenditures. We got to start somewhere. Let's try a penny. And everybody laughed at him, mocked at him, jeered him, and ignored him. And he got none of that done either. So to some degree, I don't think Mike Lee is dismissive of your point as much as he's saying we live in the real. And right now, I've just got to fight the onslaught. Hey, I want to roll back the 87,000 new IRS agents they just put in place. I can't really think of, you know, and Republicans are joining Democrats everywhere. We're always betraying the end. So 12 Republicans joined Democrats, Chris, to pass a gay marriage bill that would allow lawsuits to be filed against organizations as long as you're, unless you're a special church or the special eked out privilege for the few. The rest of us are under assault with this latest abuse. Some are saying we got to roll that back. Well, good luck, because when the House passed the final version, what, 39 Democrats? I mean, Republicans. Democrats and I mean, Republicans. And what are they, right? So 39 plus 12, you got literally 51 Republicans out of a 535-member House and Senate Congress. 51 out of 535. 53 is 10%. So 10% of Congress, all Republicans, flat out sold us out, and they passed the final version. It's waiting for Joe to join now, Chris.
Yeah, and four of those were from the conservative state of Utah, Sam, including my own representative, who I didn't vote for, fortunately.
So I they want gay marriage as a, quote, lawful right, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. No, let's develop that. That if this is so obviously a Trojan horse, Sam, I don't know how else to put it. And the Church of Jesus Christ, and I hate to diss on the church that I'm a member of, because I love the church. I'm a member in good standing. I never thought I'd come to a point where I would be this critical of the church of which I'm a member, but they backed it 100% because of one last-minute provision that protected 501c3. And he goes on about that. Let me read his comments. Voted for it mainly because the leadership of the Mormon Church came out in approval, having bought into the fig leaf of protection for, quote, religious liberty, unquote, provided by a last-minute amendment that only covered tax-exempt churches and no one else. It doesn't protect the members of the church. If for example, if I own apartment complexes.
Yeah, tough beans for you, buddy.
Yeah, and there was a bill in the state of Utah. I think it was like 8 or 9 years ago, something like that. And the church backed that, where it forced people to rent their apartments to people that they may feel spiritually uncomfortable renting them to, homosexuals, lesbians, et cetera. And the church backed that. And I had a conversation with a gentleman. I have people call me all the time because they either listen to the program or they know that I do a lot of research. And he says, well, the church was just covering its bases. And my question to him to counter that was, well, doesn't the First Amendment protect the church? Isn't that sufficient? Isn't the constitutional recognized right to freedom of religion, shouldn't that be sufficient? And he said, oh, yeah, I guess it should. See, people don't think these things through, Sam. It just frustrates the heck out of me. And these are intelligent people. They're not dummies.
Well, that's true. But when you look at it, Mike Lee tried to put greater religious protections in there. And again, they flat out rejected Mike Lee entirely. They jettisoned his extra religious protections. They went with his very thinly veiled, we'll give churches 501c3 special privilege. But later, the 501c3 status will be challenged if you don't go along. So it's going to be used as a whipping tool to force absolute tyranny. Yep. And I hesitate on that word. Look, they're going to force you to go along. Right now, they go to your values because it makes you feel good. But eventually, they pull the rug out from under you. Right now, they're saying, yeah, this is all we want. We're going to stop here. But later, that will change. Write it down. Remember who warned you first. If you don't believe me, go look at the Don't Ask, Don't Tell gay marriage policy in the military. The Republicans were against it. 20 years later, they were saying, well, let's hold the line there, please. They lost both battles. You see where it's going? Quick pause on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
A judge has dismissed charges against former Republican Michigan Governor Rick Snyder over the Flint water crisis following a state Supreme Court ruling from earlier this year that said indictments delivered by a one-person grand jury were valid. Hundreds of thousands of Flint residents were exposed to lead-tainted water when city managers who were appointed by Snyder switched Flint's water source to save money amid a budget crisis. 9 deaths were linked to the crisis. Snyder, who was charged along with 7 others, was the first person in Michigan's history to be charged for alleged crimes committed on the job. After committing to refusing to accept the results of her race if she lost, Republican Carrie Lake has filed a legal challenge she's threatening in the aftermath of losing the Arizona governor's race. The Biden administration is accusing Russia of moving to provide advanced military assistance to Iran, including air defense systems, helicopters, and fighter jets, part of deepening cooperation between the two nations as Tehran provides drones to support Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Brazil is officially out.
Brazil, the favorite to win this year's World Cup, is out of Qatar 2022 after losing to Croatia in Friday's dramatic quarterfinal. It had looked as though Neymar had won it for Brazil after he scored a stunning solo goal in extra time. But Croatia broke Brazilian hearts with a last-gasp equalizer. From the USA Radio News, Washington, D.C. Bureau, I'm Victoria Idoni.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Sad but true, ladies and gentlemen, we're always betrayed in the end. So the congressional delegation of Utah all voted for this perverted marriage act, except for Burgess Owens and Mike Lee. Amen to those guys. But again, Mike Lee added these amendments trying to get greater religious protection and protection for more of us in a more holistic way. He got shut down, Chris.
Yeah, and I almost voted for Mike Lee. I think he's a good man. He went to the same private Christian school his children did, I should say. So, you know, I've kind of a lot of common values with the man, but I'm just not there yet because, I mean, he has proven that he can compromise. His conservative index score is around, I think we established that to be about 96, 95-ish. Anyway. But to his credit, he voted against the Respect for Marriage Act, which should be the Disrespect for Marriage Act. So I commend him on that.
And I was at an event where he spoke and explained the details of that act as well. And all that he was doing behind the scenes, he tried to work with other legislative members. He tried to work with Mitt Romney. He tried to work with the Mormon or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He tried to work with all these people and tried to explain. He feels like they don't really know the real details of the bill enough. And I don't know if you know, Mike Lee's an attorney as well and everything else. And he literally tried his best, and he gave us a lot of behind-the-scenes efforts that he was working on to try to make a difference. And this is kind of where, again, we live in the real, teach to the ideal. What do you do when you're in that situation? You're literally shut down by everybody. They don't care what you have to say. They don't care what you think. And, you know, so the debate becomes political capital sometimes. I'm not really for the compromises, but at some point, How do you get people to consider what you have to say when it really matters? And sometimes it's to, I don't want to say cave, but sometimes it's to go along when it doesn't matter as much, to hopefully get a broader context and some support for things that really matter the most. That's the attempt. And I'm not saying it's the right attempt. It's debatable about how far you go, how hard hitting, how intense do you give. Do you just say, look, we're going to follow the Constitution in the traditions of the founding fathers, zero compromise, we're going there. Well, then you know what? You've got to literally vote no on every single bill that comes forward to get that done almost. And the question becomes, when are you just not effective versus effective? And it's pretty debatable. It's pretty hard to kind of work through that, Chris.
You know, and that's a perfect segue. So if I were in Congress, if I were the president, if I were in a position of any power or influence, I would use my access to the media as my greatest tool. Forget, and I've told you this a lot, all the time with Donald Trump. His greatest power as president was not even mentioned anywhere in the Constitution. His greatest power of the presidency was the bully pulpit, the ability to communicate and to expound on constitutional principles. And the media, I don't care what people say, oh, no, the media would never cover it. Well, they would have to. They'd be forced to. It would get out eventually, you know, through whatever means. But, you know, as a congressperson, I know he doesn't have nearly as much access to the media as the president, but, I mean, he should be screaming. Have you ever watched the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Sam?
Yeah, of course. Great movie, and I agree with that point. The problem right now, Chris, is, and I'm going to give you the example, the mainstream press has power to manipulate things so badly, to morph the truth so definitively, to where it's a hard battle. Your point's well taken, but what it really would take is the alternative media to grow, okay? Liberty Roundtable is a decent-sized talk show, believe it or not. It's bigger than most people realize. But you know what? It's not big enough. And until Americans start supporting the right media with money, okay? I mean, to do what we really need to do to get the word out the right way, it would take us $20,000, $30,000 a month.
And yeah, that's just not going to happen.
It could happen easily. If you had 30,000 Americans put a dollar a day in, or I'm sorry, even a dollar a month, it could happen. See, if you had a 1,000 Americans put in $30 a month, you would have it. But see, Americans don't put their money where their mouth is. The American people are disengaged to the point where, hey, the liberals control everything. And Liberty Roundtable Live could be 100 times bigger than it is now with a little bit of money. Why? What do you say, Sam? How is that? Because how much time can I spend? You could take a lot of the clips from my radio shows. You could trim them down. You could make them go viral on topics. You could turn the show into video. But to do that, folks, you know what? I've got to have a staff. I do a little with what I can, but man, you know what? We literally only have a few part-time people at best. That's all we've got. And then me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm telling you, you cannot do it all by yourself. I can't fund it and do the shows and be everywhere and cut up the videos and cut up the audio and make them available on this and that. We just launched our Truth Social feed. Okay. And some would say, well, why waste time on that? Well, you got to debate then. Is it smart to use the social media services that are out there or not? Should I post on Twitter or not? Should I post on Truth Social or not? Should I put videos on YouTube or Rumble or not? Well, every bit of this takes time and money. And, okay, a lot of people, I wish there was volunteers. But the volunteers are flaky at best. And most of the volunteers mean well, but they don't have the skill set necessary. And we go on and on and on. And you say, well, Sam, that's a lot of money, 30 grand a month. Hey, man, that's what it takes to run these businesses. Okay? I do what I do on probably $4,000 or $5,000 a month. And I get the word out the best. And I fund 3/4 of it all by myself. Okay, wow. You try to get advertisers, and they'll just dump you, Chris, because you know what? You said something they don't like. They disagree with you on this issue or that issue. Or you try to get an advertiser, and they say, well, we need to see your reach. Do you have enough reach to justify the dollars you want for it? Well, the debate is probably. But you know what? How do you prove that? Well, Sam, you can prove it. Facebook and Twitter and everybody else has analytics. And my response is, yeah, they also have dead people in their numbers and they have fake accounts in their numbers and everybody else. And then they say, well, you don't understand digital, Sam. If you can prove that you've got enough audience, then I'll advertise with you. Why don't we do this, Sam? Why don't I go ahead and give you a code? and you can run all my promotions for free and build my company for free. And if enough people buy our service or product or whatever, then we'll go ahead and pay you. And we'll pay you per sale, Sam. And then I got to rely on how good their sales team is. And I got to put up all the risk to say, hey, what if their product just doesn't sell? Or what if this? And what if that? And you go round the barn. And I'll give you one last example and then turn it back over to you. And then I've got a final story before the end of the hour as well. But look, everybody criticizes the news that we run at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. Everybody who our listeners are criticize it till the cows come home. It's 5 minutes at the top of the hour by Salem News. It's 2 minutes at the bottom of the hour by Salem News. It takes 3 minutes and 5 minutes with basically two commercials. So it's really 4 minutes and 2 minutes, 6 minutes of news. But it takes 8 minutes because of the two commercials that I got to run to get the news for free. Now, people say the news isn't any good and the commercials aren't any good. Sam, get rid of it. My response is I can't get rid of it. I got to have time to switch guests. Like yesterday, I had on Dr. Scott Bradley. We had to get a guest on for the second hour. We've got to have time to get those guests on. We've got to have time to go to the bathroom. You've got to rest your voice for a minute, clear your throat, whatever you got to do. Talk to somebody if, you know, your family or somebody in the corporate world needs something. You've got to have a few breaks to do these things. If you have technical difficulties, it gives you time to solve them. So you can't just go without any breaks. I go with less breaks than anybody in the industry, shorter and less breaks than any single talk show you've ever heard of. Okay, but here's the problem. What do I put on instead of the news if I get rid of it? Well, Sam, do your own news. Well, I don't know if you know, but to do your own news is going to cost you $250,000 a year. That alone is going to cost you literally $20,000 a month. $25,000 a month is probably more like it, but say $25,000 a month. Why do you say that, Sam? Because you have to produce news 24/7. That's why. And you say, well, Sam, can't you produce like 10 news feeds and then, you know, play them a couple of times, rotate them and stuff, so overnight you don't have to have somebody? Yeah, you can. Sure. Totally. But you can't have one person do the news 24/7, can you? No, Sam, you can't. Okay, do I got to have two people? Well, two people still can't do it 24/7. They wouldn't get any holidays. They'd have to work on every single holiday, right? They'd have to work on the Sabbath every single Sunday. Because if news breaks and you're not on it, you're not a real news service, folks, right? So the problem is everybody turns you off if you don't have real news. Okay, so now if we do news 24/7, let's say we got to have three employees at the least. Because if one gets sick, you've got two to shoulder the load. If one quits, you've still got two while you hire a third person. But while you're hiring the third person, you still got to do 24/7 news. So you got to have a minimum of three people to do it. How much are those people worth? $50,000 a year? Okay, let's say you say, well, let's get five people that are part-time. Find five people at $25,000 a year. It's $125,000 all by itself. And you haven't paid for any of the technology now either, have you?
See? Yeah, or Social Security taxes for those employees and all the other
right.
Taxes.
So $25,000 a year per person becomes, you know, probably 35 or 40 by the time you pay all your government taxes. So now $40,000 a year times five guys, it's $200,000. See, you got to have money for technology. That's what it takes. Now, me and Joel Skousen, believe it or not, tried it. We got a funder and we did it and we ran news for about a year and a half and it was good news and it was going to grow, but we couldn't find any sponsors. Except for the one funder we had who eventually said, I just don't have the money to keep it up. I think there's better ways to spend my money in the political world. Well, I disagreed with him because I think this is one of the most important ways. But again, how do you argue with the funder? I mean, he can just say, well, think what you want, Sam. But okay. And then our news guy passed away. Will Grigg was the main news guy that was doing it. We had a few others that were helping, but then he passed away. So now I got to find another news guy that can do it. And that'll do it for a cost we can afford. Well, you've got to have like-minded news people because there's several parts to the equation. Not only do you got to have somebody voice the news, but who's going to gather the news? And what viewpoint are they going to have when they gather the news? So you got to have somebody like-minded enough. You got to have somebody a good enough writer to quickly whip out news day in and day out consistently. You got to have somebody who's really good at taking complicated stories and boiling them down to their salient points. You got to have somebody good enough to understand liberty in America and the Constitution and freedom and really the landscape that we live in, or you get snookered and your news is as bad as the last news you just dumped. So now you got to find five guys like that that are willing to work part-time for not much money. And they got to swap holidays, too, because you got to have somebody on the holiday there. What are you going to do on Christmas Day? Have no news at all? See? And so it's very, very tough. And unless Americans put their money where their mouth is, there ain't the money. Sam can spend $5,000 a month and get a few people to help and end up spending probably $3,500 for himself and a couple of people helping him with the rest. And he can keep it alive because he's got a day job and he works his butt off all day long every day. And he puts his money where his mouth is. But if nobody else does, or if only a few people do, it ain't going to get it. So anyway, I digress. We digress on news. I agree with you that Mike Lee and others should use the media more effectively. But I'm explaining to you why they don't, because it can't get the reach we need. Why? Because the money ain't there to make that reach happen, and the consistency isn't there. And that, yep, my friend, is the problem.
All right, listeners, you've got your marching orders. Go to libertyroundtable.com and push the donate button.
And even the few bucks I get, believe it or not, half of the money I get from other people are under distress, meaning somebody wants to give me money and other people in their spheres oppose it. Right? Even the money that I get's under contest half the time. And so I'm not begging for your money, folks. I am hoping we can expand this and make it a team effort. I'll feed and fund my family myself. But I do believe we all got to participate in this. And I put literally hundreds, thousands of hours into this in addition to the money that I put in. Do you realize I've been on the radio more than 25 years? And it's literally been anywhere from 2 to 3 hours a day the whole time. So it's 12 to 15 hours a week for over 26 years. Do you realize that's way more than like 15,000 hours? And that doesn't take any of the preparation into account, does it? Okay, this is a super, super, I agree with you that the media is so all important, but not enough Americans agree. Let me give you a last story to kind of summarize and highlight the show. We're going full circle to the environmental discussions that we had. Utah Senator Mitt Romney reaffirmed his support for a carbon tax on Thursday, calling it the number one thing that will help curb global emissions and rising temperatures. An idea that has been slow to gain traction in the Republican Party. So Mitt Romney's doubling down on this. Okay? Think about that for a second, Chris.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that will put some folks here in the great state of Utah over the top in being convinced to vote him out of office. It's going to take, I can't remember, when is he up for election? Another 4 years? I think. Anyway, yeah, no, the carbon tax, I mean, what's his name? Al Gore's been pushing that for years. Finally, I think it's coming to fruition. They've got enough Republican traitors on the right side of the aisle to push it over the top, including Mitt Romney, as you mentioned. So yeah, why not? Why not just push it? Why not just let all of this oppression and tyranny and everything be implemented, Sam? And then maybe just then, you know, once our economy collapses and society degenerates into chaos, maybe then, and just then, when it's too late to vote him out of office or to do anything peacefully, maybe just
I doubt it, because then what they'll do is turn to government for solutions, because that's what they've been trained and taught to do for decades and generations via your government school communist cesspool. That's the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. That's what they're trained to do. Let me give you another example to make the point. You probably haven't even heard these stories. You didn't know Mitt Romney literally spoke at an event and promoted a carbon tax that he wants to saddle you with. There's not enough taxes in America, says Mitt Romney, right? But now the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, now has a new proposed rule that just came out last Friday. And the goal is to crack down on the manufacturing and importing of goods containing HFCs, which would restrict the use of HFCs in refrigeration units, air conditioning systems, and heat pump equipment, starting in 2025, according to an agency press release. You say, what the heck is all that, Sam? Well, listen, it's related to the, it's in accordance with the, quote, Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol. That is a global climate treaty that the Senate, the Republican-controlled, or at least whatever you want to say, Senate, ratified in September. Now, I guess it's not really Republican-controlled now, but it was, right? The agency intends to reduce the production and consumption of HFCFs by 85% by 2036. So you've literally got now, they're going to mess with your heating and cooling and refrigeration and everything via these, you know, whatevers. And these HFCFs literally are the way refrigerators and all these different things run. It's a disaster, Chris, but that's what they're doing now. And you never even heard they did it. Did you hear that your Congress, your Senate literally codified a treaty just last September, a couple of months ago? Did you know that?
No, and probably.
And the reason you didn't know it is because there's no media that will tell you, and I just found out about it. But I'm here to tell you.
Yeah. And I dare say if people in this great state who are now supporting Mitt Romney would know that, and they probably never will, they probably would vote him out of office. But I'll tell them. I'll tell two people today because I'm going to go out and do some work, and I'll come in contact with people. So I guess that's the only way we're going to get this news circulated is through word of mouth, you know, besides your show, of course.
Yes, and that's the problem. Word of mouth isn't fast enough or consistent enough. By the way, HCFs are hydrofluorocarbons is what they are.
Yeah, that's what I do have a chemistry endorsement, so I should have known. Yeah, hydrofluorocarbons.
Okay.
Well, we did away with Freon, what, 30 years ago? Freon was the evil of the day 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's
now
a commonly known refrigerant. Remember, they attacked other refrigerants before. Now they're attacking
right. These.
So really, it doesn't matter what refrigerant you use. Eventually, they will attack it.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
We use those in air conditionings and
okay, it's the same thing as fossil fuels. It's the same thing as air and water. Mm-hmm. And everything is polluted. The whole pitch is, hey, this is a problem to you. To save you, turn to government. To save you, we're going to force government controls and regulations and this and that on you. And every time we move closer to tyranny, Mitt Romney in Utah, literally the ball carrier. And
yep.
Americans are all cool with that. Hey, let's reelect him is what they'll do next. Guaranteed.
Hey, Sam, but he was such a great church leader, Sam. He's such a spiritual guy.
Not only that, he saved the Olympics for crying out loud, Chris.
Saved the Olympics. Yeah, I think we can do without our freezers and refrigerators and air conditioning. In exchange for him having saved the Olympics, what, 20 years ago? Yeah. But, if they're going to shut down our farms, then we won't have any food to put in our refrigerators and freezers. So we don't need that HFCs. We could use the air conditioner, but, you know. But by the way, that's, you know, what happens in Europe eventually comes over here to America. I was going to mention that when we talked about them shutting down 3,000 farms and in the Netherlands, sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, no, we're being assaulted. That's why I say nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. We're being attacked on every side.
That is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And I wish we could do more about it, but you know what? I'm convinced that the American people aren't really interested in doing anything about it, Chris.
Okay, well, that gets so we usually quote scriptures here. And if I get my screen to quit freezing up on me, I would refer to the scripture. That's a good segue into Romans 1:28, Sam, and we've read this scripture before. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, end quote. Yeah, so that's where we are. We've kind of abandoned our mission here on earth, which is to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom. And we've kind of capitulated to Satan and him building his kingdom. But I'm not going to capitulate, and I know you're not. And I'll go to my grave fighting against evil and upholding good. So, yeah, that's
what
we are.
And, you know, some people say, Sam, a lot of people don't like this long-form radio programming that you're doing. People just don't have 2 hours to listen to you all the time. And, you know, a lot of times you say a lot of the same things over and over. Well, the reason I say the same things over and over is because we obviously are not getting it. And repetition is the best way to kind of help. They say, well, you talk about God too much. And my response is, look, we're not gonna get out of this mess without pointing to God, folks. We're just not. Okay. And I bring a lot of these things up, and the solutions are simple, and I hammer them home because I believe that the Word And the word of God and the teaching of true principles is greater than the sword, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the media is so important, as we can speak. Look, the radio is one of the most important beginnings of social media. You know what? I can speak to thousands, millions, all together, and we can educate one another and support one another. We've never had so many tools to advocate for freedom in the history of the world as we have now. But the problem is those people say the long-form programming is a problem, Sam. Fine, we're working on short videos now, too. I'm doing videos now once a week or so that are less than 10 minutes that highlight the most important issues of the day, whatever they be. And so, for example, I'm going to highlight this treaty that I told you that your Congress just passed in September that you heard nothing about. Think about that, okay? It's basically the Kigali, I don't know how to say this, amendment to the Montreal Protocol. It's a global treaty. Okay, do you know about the Montreal Protocol, a global climate treaty that the Senate ratified in September? Did you know that?
Well, you did.
See,
you
I did not know global, that.
You missed the global election? I did too. They must have had some sort of international election.
How can we fight against this if we didn't even know it was existing before it happened? And then even after they voted yes and put it into place, we don't even know. How are you going to fight against that, Chris?
Well, surely our good conservative Republican representatives will catch wind of that.
No, Mitt Romney backed it, loves it, supported it.
Oh, okay. Well.
See? So you don't stand a chance. But look, I search for the news as hard and as long and as fast as I singly can. I just can't put more time and more effort in than I already put in. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the, you know, Sam just lacks mojo is the problem there, buddy. I need to work at it more, longer, harder. But see, I can't. I give all that I can give to the sacred cause of liberty. And if enough Americans would do that, this would be, easy. But, man, you can't push your Senate to stop something if you don't know it exists after they already pass it. And now they're working on the 2025 and 2036 agendas, and you don't even know they're working on them. They're stealthily moving forward big time with this, and the American people are just completely ignorant.
Yeah.
Hey, so how do we increase our reach? I don't know any way without money, because the only way I know is to get more people involved. And most people care, but they can't dedicate their time to this as much as is needful unless they could, support their family while doing it, right?
Right, and that's becoming harder and harder.
Well, we gotta be look. We gotta have more jobs for conservatives, more people that'll stand up and not fire them. But if I got $30,000 a month, just say all it would take is 30 Americans to put in $1,000 a month, or 30,000 Americans to put in $1 a month, right? And you'd have $30,000. Mm-hmm. I could hire a staff that way. If we had more money, if 100,000 Americans put $1 a month in, we'd have 100,000 a month. Just think what we could do. But see, I can't do it all by myself. It's not possible. And you say, well, Sam, there's a lot of other people doing it too. I know, and they all struggle for money too. The more true to the cause the organization is, the less dollars they have. Remember that. Write it down. It's a fact.
What?
The more true to the cause, the less dollars they have, virtually without exception. I say virtually because I'm sure you can find a point or an example where it's not, fundamentally factual. But for the most part, it's true. If I were to propose, just carry the Republican line, I could get everything funded in a heartbeat. If I quit talking about God, I could get it funded in a heartbeat. Not going to do it, folks. I'll just do my best and stand as a testimony at the last day, at the judgment bar of Christ, that we told the tale of truth. We were truth tellers, encouraging everybody to jettison the sword and promote the word of God, because God, family, and country are the solutions to the problems we face. Some say, Sam, you make it too simple. I say, I don't think so. You make it too complicated. Chris, final word is yours.
Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to put our money where our mouths are. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our dirty duty, sir.
LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.